Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus this evening, Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. We're going to resume our studies in the book of Exodus with Israel making their way towards the Red Sea, which they will need to cross. So the title of my sermon tonight is dealing with the subject of new chapters, a new chapter in the history of the nation of Israel. The crossing of the Red Sea for Israel will begin a new chapter in their history. Let's read verses 17 and 18, Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we are grateful for the promise of blessing, and we are thankful for your word that has great and precious promises and blessings. So Lord God, I pray that you would grant us a blessing from your word this evening. I pray that your Holy Spirit would take truth and apply it personally, that we might be likened to our Saviour more so and walk in harmony with your eternal will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So as I've mentioned, the crossing of the Red Sea for Israel will begin a new chapter in their history. They have endured some 430 years in Egypt. God had promised a return to the land of Canaan from the beginning of them entering Egypt. And as a result of the hardship they have experienced in Egypt, they cried out for a deliverer. We note of that in chapter 1. And God provided a man by the name of Moses, to lead them out of Egypt. After a series of some 10 plagues, Pharaoh finally allows Israel to leave. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he literally pushes them out. We note there in Exodus chapter 12, please, verse number 33, it reads, "And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out by the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men." And then we note then verses 40 to 42 of chapter 12. "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." So we have before us the beginning of a new chapter for the nation of Israel. The crossing of the Red Sea, making their way towards the Promised Land. This is the next step in God's dealings with Israel. And I would like for us to see what we can learn from this new chapter in Israel's history that will be of help to us as we anticipate new chapters in our lives. We can learn from the principles that God instructs and gives to his people at this point of time. A new chapter to you might be a limitation. A new chapter in your life might be a new opportunity. A new chapter in your life might be a loss, a new job, a new ministry, a determination to serve the Lord fully. That might be your new chapter. Books are full of chapters. The amount of chapters within a book can vary, but any decent bona fide book, each chapter points back to the main theme of that book. And your life and my life is a series of chapters, and we are on a journey, and it's only a matter of time before you and I will begin a new chapter. Marriage is a new chapter. Bearing children is a new chapter. Educating your children is a new chapter. A new job is a new chapter. Life is full of new chapters. Life does not remain the same. Things aren't the same forever. We'd like for things to remain the same, but they don't. We're either changing for the better or changing for the worse. Life is full of new chapters. And this is a new chapter in the life and history of the nation of Israel. And what can we learn from the beginning of this new chapter? They've spent some 430 years in Egypt, and now it's come to an abrupt halt. They've been thrust out, and they are on their way out of Egypt. They've got to face the Red Sea, and they are making their way back to the land of promise. The first principle I'd like for us to stress this evening when it comes to a new chapter in the life of Israel, and maybe for you at this moment, you are looking down the barrel of a new chapter in your life in some shape or form. Principle number one this evening is that we must accept God's ways. We must accept God's ways. That's the first key principle that I see here in Exodus chapter 13. We must accept God's ways and not lean upon our own ways. See, we note here in verse 17 that God led Israel out of Egypt. But the way that he led them was not the most direct route to Canaan. They were not allowed to go on the coastal road, the road known as the Way of the Philistines. It was known as the Way of the Philistines because it led through the cities that belonged to the Philistines. The coastal road, it's known once we find ourselves back in Israel. They weren't allowed to go due east directly. Instead, they were told to go southeast. Instead of going straight east, they were told to go southeast towards the wilderness of Sinai. Why? Well, note there once again in verse number 17, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. That was the obvious way, the most direct way. And why wouldn't God lead them the most obvious direct way? Well, verse 17 goes on to read, lest peradventure, or potentially, the people repent when they see war. What's that in reference to? They see the Philistines. And the Philistines are not going to allow God's people to just stroll on through. They're going to put up a fight. And God knew his people. They've been in bondage and they've been in Egypt for some 430 years. They're not ready to fight anybody. Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. See, God didn't want his people to turn back. So God said, I'm going to lead you by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea.
So God spells out very clearly to his people that they were not ready for war. They were not ready to battle. They had been beaten around, had no means of defending themselves. And this coastal road, the way of the Philistines, was a military road. It was the road used by the Egyptians in going out to battle, to conquer, to expand their empire. But Israel was in no shape to fight with the Philistines. And the point I want to make first and foremost, when it comes to a new chapter in your life and my life, we must accept God's way. And God's way might not be the most straightforward way. It might not be the easier way. In fact, it might not be the pretty way, the scenic way. The coastal road was the scenic route. Water views. We all like water views, don't we? But God said, no, no water views for you. You are going south, then east, then up north. See, God knows what we can handle and when we can handle it. So in the beginning of a new chapter in our lives, we need to accept that our way of thinking might not be God's way or means to reach his purpose for us. For his ways, his thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts and my ways. We must accept God's ways and not lean on our own ways. Because God knows what we can handle, and God knows what is best for us. And that beautiful verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, which should be one of those verses that all of us have committed to memory, it's such a stabilizing truth, this is. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Note, he will not suffer or allow you to be tempted or tested or tried above that you are able. See, God knew that Israel had no hope of combating the Philistines. So even though it was the most direct route back to Canaan, God and his foreknowledge, he in his omniscience knew there's no way they're going to be able to stand up to the Philistines. So I'm going to take them the long way and build them in the process. So by the time they actually have to go into the land of promise, they will be equipped, strengthened to battle. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation or the testing make a way of escape. And that wonderful little concluding phrase, that ye may be able to bear it. So in beginning a new chapter, for you and I, no matter what it might be, you and I need to be mindful that the way we see it panning out, for a better word, might not be God's way. But we can rest assured that God is purposeful, and God knows what we can handle, and God wants what is best for us. And as God leads us to a new chapter, in whatever shape or form, you and I need to be willing to stand back and say, Lord, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are greater than my thoughts. You are the personification of all wisdom. Thy will be done. Even though it might not seem logical, it might not seem the most direct route, it might not be the scenic route, but it's important that we accept God's ways. And also note then verse number 18, the second principle that I'd like to stress this evening. When it comes to a new chapter in the life and history of the nation of Israel, we've noted first and foremost that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. He didn't lead them the most direct way, he led them his way. But also note here in verse number 18, the usage of a military word. The basis of this word is it has a military basis. The end of verse 18, it reads, back in Exodus 13, that is, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. As I've said, the basis of this word is military. It has to do with being equipped in a military sense. Now, what's it referring to? It's obviously not referring to them being trained to fight, because that's why God wouldn't allow them to go via the way of the Philistines. Well, consider the task of moving 600,000 people in one direction. 600,000 people in one direction. It would have been a logical challenge, logistic challenge, to say the least. And the Bible says they went up harnessed. This is in reference to order, organization. This is what the word harness means within this context. They were organized, they were ordered as they left Egypt. See, God will always bless order. God always blesses planning. Our faith is not in our planning. It shouldn't be. But as it reads there in Proverbs chapter 16, please go to Proverbs chapter 16. If we will do all that we can from our side, then God will do the rest. Note then Proverbs chapter 16, please. Verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible reads, "The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You prepare your heart and I'll give you the words to speak. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So we note here in Exodus chapter 13 that God's people, the children of Israel, went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Some 600,000 of them. There was order. There was structure. Moses no doubt worked with his main leaders and organized them, and they decently and in order made their way out of Egypt. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, it teaches us, let everything be done decently and in order. I like order. My faith is not in order, but I like it. I like to be organized, believe it or not. I'm not obsessed with organization. There's a point that it's too much. Enough's enough for me. But I believe there's a place to be organized, to be ordered, because God is a God of order, is he not? God is not haphazard. God is not random. God is not off the cuff. He works from and for eternity. God is ordered. He created with order in mind, and he gives us the ability to set things in order. And God tells us, you do your part. You prepare your heart and I'll give you the words to say. Psalm 37:23 reads, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. God delights in his ways. What ways? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Their organization and order was purposeful. So we're not given the details, but obviously this word conveys the thought, and most Bible commentators would agree with me, that it has to do with God's people being organized in an orderly fashion. They didn't just scream and run in all directions out of Egypt. There was order, there was structure, there was organization as God's people left Egypt. And when it comes to the next chapter in your life and in my life, God delights in order. God wants us to be organized as much as we can be organized. So no doubt Moses planned and prepared for this day of leaving Egypt within the will of God. And when it comes to that new chapter in your life and in my life, it's so important that we walk orderly, not haphazardly, but we do everything that we can in our power to set things in order, and we trust God to give the increase. Our faith is not in our order. It can't be. Our faith needs to be in God. But God is a God of order. So as we order our lives, God blesses organization. The power is not in the organization, the power is in God. But we see that God's people left, went up, harnessed, ordered out of the land of Egypt. And then as we go back to Exodus chapter 13, note verse number 19, what else takes place? So it's important in beginning that new chapter, whenever a new chapter arises in your life and in my life, we must be mindful that God's ways are not our ways. Be open to the way God is leading us. It might not be how we perceive or thought it would happen. There needs to be order. We need to get organized, so to speak. But also note here in verse 19, please, of chapter 13. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. This is the prophecy that Joseph made some 430 years earlier. And ye shall carry my bones away hence with you. The third principle I'd like for us to stress this evening, when it comes to new chapters, new chapter in the life and history of the nation of Israel, a new chapter in your life and my life, let's be mindful that God's ways are not our ways. Let's be ordered, let's be organized as much as we can. We don't rest in that order, that organization. We rest in God. But thirdly, we need to take care of unfinished business. In leaving Egypt, finally, after 430 years, they remember, the Bible teaches us in verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. In leaving Egypt, they remembered to take Joseph's bones with them. All those years ago, Joseph prophesied that God will visit his people and lead them back to Canaan. And Joseph asked for his remains to be taken back with them on that glorious day. Let's review back there in Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Please. Genesis chapter 50, verses 25 and 26. In fact, let's read verse 24 as well, verses 24 to 26. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, made them vow, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him and was put in a coffin in Egypt. Or some 430 years have passed. And praise be to God that Moses took responsibility of the bones of Joseph. And the Bible says specifically, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. From the leadership down, they were mindful of this promise that was passed on from generation to generation. And this event here in Exodus chapter 13 is the fulfillment of a promise made to Joseph. It was an act of faith. Note there in Joshua chapter 24, please. Joshua chapter 24. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24. Verse number 32. Joshua 24, verse number 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, and a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And there in Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 22. It reads, by faith Joseph, Hebrews 11:22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. What a day it must have been. What a privilege it must have been for Moses to lead the nation of Israel in transporting the bones of this great patriarch by the name of Joseph, who said some 430 years earlier, God will visit. God will lead you out. God will lead you back to the promised land. But please take my bones with you. In beginning a new chapter within the will of God, you and I need to be mindful that we attend to any unfinished business. Because it might be something that needs to be attended to before we fully get involved in that new chapter, in moving forward for the Lord. I think of the two spies that were preserved by Rahab there in Jericho. God's people came in, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, and Rahab's family was spared. God's people attended to some unfinished business. A promise that was made by the spies that if you will protect us, we will protect your family. And that vow was honored. We need to take care of unfinished business. And Joseph took responsibility, Moses took responsibility for the bones of Joseph. And upon leaving Egypt, the Bible teaches us that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. It doesn't say Israel took the bones of Joseph with him. So we see the weight and responsibility rests upon the leadership to attend to unfinished business. And in the beginning of a new chapter in your life and my life within the will of God, you and I need to ask ourselves the question, is there anything outstanding that needs to be addressed? That needs to be dealt with possibly, or just simply done as I prepare this new chapter in my life. And last but not least, as we go back to Exodus chapter 13, we note here in verses 20 to 22, please, Exodus chapter 13, verses 20 to 22. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And note verse 21, and the Lord went before them. That's a key phrase right there. The Lord went before them. Not after them, not beside them. The Lord went before them. By day, in a pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. And verse 22, and he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So when it comes to a new chapter in your life and in my life, we must accept that God's ways might not be our way or our ways. We need to walk orderly, do everything that we can, get organized, and do everything that we can from our side and look to God to give the increase. And thirdly, we need to take care of any unfinished business in light of this new chapter. And last but not least, according to verses 20 to 22, we need to be careful lest we run ahead of God. Because as verse 21 reads, and the Lord went before them. The Lord went before them. God promised his abiding presence and assurance of his leadership as they began this new chapter of leaving the land of Egypt. As God's people took individual steps, God was there to show them the next step and the next step. And praise God for his presence and praise God for the assurance of his leadership. But it's so critically important that you and I, as God's people, especially when we are looking down the barrel of a new chapter in our lives, it's important that we are following the Lord. I'm afraid that so often we can get ahead of the Lord, or we can try to lead the Lord our way. Am I right or not? We're all guilty of it. And we just need to be mindful of our position. We follow the Lord. It's not a matter of the Lord following us. And God promised his presence. And God promised the fact that I'm going to lead you. God told them, I'm going to lead you by a pillar. A pillar. By day, the pillar will be a pillar of cloud. And it sort of occurred to me the other day, the cloud they followed was in the shape of a pillar. That's what the Bible teaches. Am I right or not? I used to think it was just a cloud. Sorry, I'm not as intelligent and theological as you might be. Sort of occurred to me, the penny dropped, that the Bible says a pillar. A pillar. A pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Not just fire, not just a cloud, a pillar of cloud. That's what the Bible teaches. Oh, Pastor, you're a literalist. Glory to God. No reason why we would not just simply believe what God has said. So God told them, I'm going to lead you by a pillar in the day. It will be made out of cloud. In the night, it will be made out of fire. We note at times that God spoke from this pillar, according to Numbers chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And according to Psalm 105, verse 39, the pillar of cloud was also used to shield God's people from the hot sun. And God told his people to keep their eyes on the Lord in the day and in the night. And when the cloud moved, the people moved. When the cloud waited, the people waited. Note there in Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, please. At the end of the chapter, end of the book, I should say. Exodus chapter 40. Verses 34 to 38.
Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. See, God's leadership is always with the purpose of completing His will. And this is what we see within the book of Exodus. God was leading them each step of the way, not only to the Red Sea, but the crossing of the Red Sea, and through the wilderness, and ultimately into the Promised Land. Praise God for His leadership. And yet when it comes to you and I beginning a new chapter in our lives, or continuing a chapter in our lives, it's so critically important that you and I are following the Lord, that we don't get in front of the Lord. The Lord went before them, the Bible teaches us. We need to make sure that the Lord is the one leading, and that we are not leading or dragging the Lord according to our whims and wishes. Note there in Psalm 25, please. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. It reads, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." What a good spirit is conveyed in those verses there. "On thee do I wait all the day." We need to make sure that the Lord is the one leading us. In Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path." This pillar of cloud, this pillar of fire, this pillar of cloud during the day and this pillar of fire during the night was directional for God's people for over 40 years. And for you and I that are Bible-believing Christians, we have the Word of God. And God leads us in and through His Word. And praise God for the presence of God's Spirit that takes the Word of God and seeks to lead us, seeks to guide us. "Thy Word is a lamp unto thy feet, a light unto thy path." We have the Word of God. And God leads us in and through the Word of God. He uses the Spirit of God to guide us and lead us. And the Spirit of God always works in harmony with His precious Word. The leadership of God's Spirit is always in harmony with this book. That's why we always encourage within this church family, if you are about to begin a new chapter in your life, if you are about to make a major decision, ask God to give you book, chapter, verse. Amen. "Lord, show me. Grab me from your word. Show me this is the way I need to go." The nation of Israel followed the Lord. This was a new chapter for the nation of Israel. After 430 years, they were leaving Egypt on their way to the land of their forefathers. And we have within Exodus chapter 13 some simple yet profound, important principles.
when it comes to new chapters. New chapters. A new chapter can be, as I've already said, it could be in the form of a new ministry, a new opportunity. It could be in the form of a loss. It could be in the form of a limitation. It could be in the form of a new job, new chapter. Life's full of chapters. Your life is made up of chapters. Nothing stays the same forever. Only God is eternal. Only God's word's eternal. Things are always changing. And God is moving you and I towards likeness to His Son. So that encompasses new chapters. A new chapter means a new challenge. This is a new challenge for Israel. They're leaving Egypt. This is all they've known for as a nation for 430 years. They lived in Egypt, in Goshen. New chapter. So therefore, it was critically important that God's people were mindful of the fact and be willing to accept that God's ways might not be what they might be thinking. And God's people, we read here in Exodus chapter 13, as they went up, went out harnessed out of the land of Egypt. They were ordered, they were organized. And also we noted here in chapter 13 that Moses took the bones of Joseph. He attended to some unfinished business. Unfinished business. And last but not least, the Bible reads in verse 21, and the Lord went before them. God promised His presence. God promised that He would lead. And God promises you and I that He will lead us. He will guide us. But it's so critically important that we are mindful of our position, that God needs to lead. God needs to lead. When God leads us into that new chapter of life, let's be mindful of the fact that God's ways are not our ways. Let's be mindful that we just need to attend to our part, the preparations of the heart in man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Let's take care of any unfinished business as we prepare this new chapter. Do I need to attend to some unfinished business? Are there some bones that need to come with me? And last but not least, let's make sure that we're following the Lord. And God said, I'm going to lead you by day. I'm going to lead you by night. I'm going to lead you all the way. I'm going to lead you to completion. Thank God that God is a gracious God and His presence is promised permanently. It's not as if God's going to lead you and I to a point and then God's attitude is, see you later, alligator, you're on your own. That's not our God. He will lead us all the way. Praise God for that. But we need to just be careful and be mindful that we just need to follow Him and not get ahead of our God. So when God leads you into a new chapter, maybe you are in the throes of a new chapter in your life at this time. Let me encourage you to be mindful of these key principles. But if not, hold on to your ticket. Keep your seatbelt on. The time will come. Books are full of chapters. And God will have a new chapter for you. Let's respond biblically. And from here, we will note how God leads not only the nation of Israel to the Red Sea, but also in the crossing of the Red Sea. Let's bow for prayer.